Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Back to the Junkyard Dogcast, everybody. I'm Jake Rowe with Dogs 24/7. With me, Kip Adams and Rusty Mansell, also of Dogs 24/7. Got a full show, got a lot to talk about. Georgia's got a transfer, another transfer in the defensive backfield, a 2023 commitment. Georgia's ranked number one in 2023 and 2022 right now. And also want to get into kind of June. It's creeping up on us pretty quickly here. And there's just a lot to talk about as far as like visits, unofficial, official. We're going to see what Kip and Rusty have for us just in terms of what we expect to see in the month of June. And Rusty, I always start out with you, man. And Brandon Turnage, Alabama transfer. He's going to be a redshirt sophomore with 4 years to play basically because of the COVID year. And this all happened pretty quickly. Can you kind of, you know, just tell us kind of what you know about the behind the scenes and Georgia's plans for him and where he fits?
Certainly happened real quick. And there's so many people that go into the portal now and see those day-to-day things. And we, you know, all three of us pay attention specifically to two key positions, defensive back and wide receiver. And when Turnage went in, I saw it and just really didn't click with me and not thinking about, you know, here's a guy that played in Alabama system. Here's a guy that Matt Luke certainly recruited at Oxford, Alabama, at Oxford, Mississippi. And got down, I think, Alabama and Ole Miss for him at Kanata High School. He's the top 125 player, I think, something like that in high school. And, you know, had size and worked out at camps. And I just really didn't, to be honest with you, just didn't do enough homework on it. And when I got some information, I thought, wait a minute, that this is serious. So I kept trying to update the board. I think Thursday night was the first time, I think. And then Friday morning we came on and said, hey, feel like this thing's really trending. And Jake, I probably called you. I let Kip have a Friday afternoon hydration moment. And I was on the road, so Jake, you handled it, and I said, we better get a piece together. I think this kid's going to Georgia, and maybe 2 hours later, he verbally commits to Georgia. So, you know, that tells you as quick as he went in and as quick as Georgia got him, they had zero hesitation. I think this kid is a corner. I think he can play corner. I think he can be versatile, maybe move into some nickel at times, but if they're going to find the best place for him, but certainly I think he's going to get a shot at, playing cornerback at Georgia with his size. And I think the bigger picture in all of this with everything is with Alabama taking, I'm going to say Henry T, because I'm not going to butcher his name up, a player of that caliber. But when they're taking him and Georgia takes Turnage, I think that both schools anticipate this SEC transfer rule to go through, meeting immediate eligibility. So, you know, to me, there's a lot of things to look at this with Turnage as a player. There's also a bigger picture to see as far as where these types of things can go. So trying to work on today and early this week, finding out kind of where Georgia is. They got at least one, potentially two spots maybe left for transfers. So this portal stuff, man, I know this. By June 30th, we're going to know who's who and who's where. There's going to be some rosters and key players that look different all over the country. Not trying to say Georgia, not trying to hint. I'm just thinking nationwide, there is going to be some movement, and it's going to happen just about in the next 5 weeks.
Yeah, and Rusty, I think it probably didn't click with you for the same reason it didn't click with me and probably a bunch of other people is, you know, when you start talking about Georgia transfer portal, they're looking for experience. They're looking for guys that have played winning football at a high level in Power 5 or maybe even not Power 5, maybe a guy that has just been super productive, maybe even at a Group of 5 school. And Turnage hasn't done that. I mean, I think he's played, you know, somewhere around a dozen career snaps. He's appeared in three career games, has a pass breakup. So to that end, my thinking was when I saw this, I was kind of like, all right, well, this doesn't really fit the bill of what you would expect Georgia to go after in the transfer portal. They've got bodies at cornerback, but they don't have experience at cornerback, and Turnage doesn't really bring a lot of that to you. But then there's another way you look at this, and it's the fact that, like you mentioned, he can play cornerback. He's played safety at Alabama. He could fit in your nickel package. He can fit in your dime package as the sixth defensive back. So, on one hand, no, the experience isn't there, but yes, he does check off a lot of boxes. And you know, kind of as I wrote on the impact analysis after all this went down, he can wear a lot of hats for you. And Georgia isn't – listen, receiver is still a thing, and you know, maybe safety is not a thing anymore now they've got a guy that's kind of multifaceted like this and has played safety in this – system, a very similar system to what Georgia runs. But when I look at it, it's kind of one of those things. It's like, okay, you know, cornerback is definitely the number one need for the transfer portal. But then you've also got to consider safety with Major Burns leaving because you got to have bodies at that position. You've also got to look at, you know, the star nickel positions. I mean, those are really, you know, huge and dime, and you want competition there. And, you know, receivers right there to me before this happened with safety. And then now you got a guy who you feel like, okay, he can go out there and compete for you at corner, but he's also repped a lot at safety. He's going to be very familiar with that. And maybe he can be your next man up there.
Hey, let me cut in too there. I'll agree with all that. Here's something too I thought more about this weekend, thinking about it. This guy's been at Alabama. This guy knows the practice pace. They get coached hard at Alabama the same way they get coached hard at Georgia. And, Jake, for 2 years now, who has this guy been covering in practice? I mean,
a lot of first-round dudes.
He's been getting reps against the elite of elite at wide receiver. So, Georgia knows this guy's coming in. No, he doesn't have the game experience, but he has the practice experience. He knows what to expect, and he is winning against the best at that position. No question. I don't think anybody is going to argue what Alabama's done the last 2 years at wide receiver. So, you know, there's a lot to him, and I think those reasons are the ones that Georgia jumped on. They're not going to have to, quote-unquote, train him. They're going to plug him in and see what he's got, because this guy has everything else checked off, just needs to get a few game reps. But everything else leading into that, this is not a true freshman. This isn't a young kid. This isn't a freshman. This is a seasoned practice in, you know, heavily coached environment he's coming from. A lot of expectations there, obviously. Same thing at Georgia. So there's a lot to check off there. And I thought about it more this weekend. Should have really dug into it and thought about it quicker on my end.
Yeah. What's your overall thoughts on this edition? What do you like about it? What do you question about it?
Well, I know, you know, a lot of eyebrows are raised just because it's not a guy like when Tyke Smith is coming in, you know, everyone's like, well, Georgia just added an All-American after losing Tyreek Stevenson. Like, they may not have upgraded at that position at star, but it's still possible they get better production from him than maybe Tyreek would have brought to the position this season. So that was a no-brainer. You know, this one, a little different because, like you said, everyone's been talking about experience. But, I mean, you look at Georgia's secondary last year, you know, Brandon would have had a tough time seeing the field last year just in Georgia's secondary. You look having four guys drafted out of that secondary and seeing the talent they had there. I mean, that's how it goes sometimes. Sometimes guys have to wait, you know, until it's their turn because they have more experienced players ahead of them. I mean, you just look at Alabama. It's not just the fact that you have Josh Jobe and Jalen Armour-Davis there. You have, you know, McKinstry there at Alabama as well. They just had Patrick Surtain drafted in the top 10 of the draft And then the year before, you have Trevon Diggs and Xavier McKinney. So in the secondary, getting drafted early out of Alabama, it's just a position that, you know, they had a lot of depth at. And that's just the way it goes at certain positions. And so I think that while he doesn't have a lot of, you know, stats as far as being on the field, like you guys said, just being in the system multiple years and him being prepared in that aspect, there's just going to be a less of a transition period for him. And I think that you just look at, you know, Georgia's cornerback situation. Everyone's excited about the young guys, you know, Khalil Ringo. You really want to see what him and Jalen Kimber can do, but you also just don't want to go out there and have guys, you know, maybe who aren't ready for the big stage. You got Clemson coming up in game one. You want to be able to have some guys you can depend on, and they're going to find out real quick, you know, if Brandon can be one of those guys. But they also just have, you know, that knowledge that he knows what George is going to ask of him every day. Like you guys said, he's been battle tested. And I mean, I think he's a really good athlete, and it brings a lot to the table as far as just his overall size and athleticism. I think that you can get multiple years of contributions from him, and that's really what you want out of a roster spot. You can't really, until the NCAA changes this initial counter rule, if you're going to have a guy on campus multiple years on scholarship, then you want him to be able to contribute in the two deep. And I really think that he has, you know, the capability to do that for Georgia. And the secondary, I mean, it looks a lot better than it did a month ago. I mean, that was the main question mark coming into spring. Georgia's secondary looks very green out there. And now, you know, they've added an All-American at one position, and they got a guy who's got 2 years in Alabama system coming in who can help at cornerback, you know, help at safety if you need him to. You feel a little bit better going into the summer and fall camp knowing that you do have a couple guys coming in to help you out there. And, you know, maybe if Nalen Green isn't ready, if Kamari Lasser isn't ready, you know, to be that number two cornerback or, you know, number three cornerback, the next guy off the bench, then even if Brandon Turnage is not starting, you know, you can kind of depend on him to be that next man up in case somebody else falters, gets hurt, anything like that. So I just think, you know, if you're Jamil Adai, you feel a lot better about the situation right now. And I mean, this is a team with college football playoff aspirations, and this is the kind of move you have to make to shore up your roster to make sure that you have as few question marks as possible just heading into fall camp.
You know, a couple points I want to make here. One of them just kind of adding a layer to it. And I'm glad you brought up Nylon Green and Kamari Lassiter there. If you look at Georgia's cornerbacks, right, you got Amir Speed's the only guy that's been around longer than a year, okay? And then you got Jalen Kimber, who doesn't really fit at a safety or a nickel spot. He's a little bit small. He's definitely a corner all the way. But he's been on campus here. You got Duran Branch, who's still around. You know, some you know, chatter there that they're, you know, that he might be considering moving on to another place or another school or you know, the sport together. He's already kind of left the program once. But so you look at those guys, and they're all so young, and they're all like learning a position. Keely Ringo, you know, this spring was his first action with in pads, and the rest of the guys are true freshmen. Green and Lassiter are true freshmen. You don't really feel comfortable as comfortable as you would a guy like Turnage cross-training those guys. You know, if you're trying to create some depth at safety, or if you're trying to find a number two or a number three star, or you're trying to find a dime guy, a guy that can play that money position in dime, you don't feel as good about cross-training those guys because, hey, they're trying to learn one position. They're trying to get there with one position. Well, this is a third-year guy here that you feel a lot more comfortable working him at multiple positions because you know that he's going to have a better knowledge of the defense and the knowledge of those positions. It's going to come quicker to him, and he's going to be able to pick up on that stuff a lot faster. And he's also had plenty of time to learn one position really well. And so you feel better about, you know, going multiple spots with that. The second point I want to make is this. Georgia fans should know more than anybody. Listen, I don't know how good Brandon Turnage is going to be. Okay, he may never start a game for Georgia. He may not ever have a tackle. I really don't know. But Georgia fans should know better than anybody the margin the difference between two players, the margin between a guy starting and a guy never really getting a starting opportunity is very, very small. And I say that to kind of go back to Turnage's time at Alabama. We don't know how close he was to winning a starting job or to getting a primary role, but we do know that Jawan Briscoe started ahead of DeAndre Baker for a few games. And Kirby Smart said that one was razor thin. It was very close, and they went with Briscoe. Briscoe did not perform when the lights were on in Sanford Stadium or any other stadium, really. He struggled. DeAndre Baker takes over. The rest is history. He's a Jim Thorpe Award winner. We saw the same thing happen with Eric Stokes and Tyson Campbell. Okay, and both ended up being great players and high draft picks, but late, in the 2018 season, I guess it was, Tyson Campbell had started the first 10 game or 9 games. In comes Eric Stokes in that Auburn game when Tyson Campbell struggled. He took over. He ended up being the higher draft pick and the better player. So at the college level. So, the margin between these guys is very, very slim a lot of times. And that could be the case with Turnage too. Could be a guy that, hey, we felt like this guy could play winning football, but maybe not quite as good as the guy in front of him. And I think that's something that everybody needs to consider here if you're critical of it. And listen, it's a little confusing and head-scratching to me too, because you really do need the experience. But there are reasons to, that you can look at here that make you understand it a little bit better, and the fact that he can do a lot of different things, and the fact that we just don't know how close he was at Alabama to seeing the playing field and playing more, I think are factors we have to kind of consider here. Rusty, is there anything as far as the portal goes? How would you expect? Let's say Georgia does have two more spots. Just a kind of a projection, kind of a feel here. What do you think Georgia does with those two spots? I mean, defensive backfield, yes, for yes, one of them for sure, right?
Yeah, and, I'm not the legal guy, so don't know. I'll tell you this. If Darian Kendrick were to get, I don't want to say dropped or his charges lowered, I don't know all the specifics in that case, okay? But I did talk to one source in South Carolina about 2 weeks ago that it said he kind of thinks that, maybe another individual in the car, whatever. I don't know, okay? So I'm not going to start any rumors with that. But let me be clear. If this young man doesn't have those charges or they get lowered to a lesser charge, it would not surprise me to see Georgia continue to recruit him, because they were all in on him before this. I mean, this is an experienced guy. This is a big game guy. He has played in some national championships. He has played in big games. And, he is what they're looking for at corner. He didn't have the best game against Ohio State, but, everybody has one of those. But I'll tell you this without hesitation, if this young man is available to go into the University of Georgia as a student athlete, they're going to recruit him. No question. But saying that, don't know if that's going to happen in a timely manner, because like I said in the Ask Rusky chat the other night, these courts, they don't understand that they're not operating off a timeline to get a kid into school and those types of things through a DA office or anything like that. So it's kind of hard to tell which way all that'll go. I still think they're going to have to take a DB, a corner. I still think they got to take another guy, and it's going to have to be someone that either they feel 1,000% confident in, or someone that's played some live rounds, some live games. And wide receiver, I still think, is a position I know they're working hard at. Everybody brings up Eric Gilbert to me. And, all I can say about Eric Gilbert is this. I called Terrence Edwards last week. We talked about the Washington County offensive tackle, because he actually had saw him for the first time a couple of days before I saw him. We talked about Jermaine Burton and how good he was doing working out with him. We talked about some younger kids, and he said, oh, by the way, man, Eric is in a spot right now where I haven't seen him in a while. He's in a good spot, really working hard with Terrence. And, grade-wise, I think everybody understands he had some issues at LSU, didn't finish up some things. It really put him in a situation. Now, with it being a COVID year, a lot of stuff online, that kind of thing. There's a lot more ability to recover stuff like that. Let me just put it to that way. as far as, you know, this young man and becoming eligible. I know this, he is very, very focused right now. And Terrence spoke really high of him. I didn't ask Terrence, and Terrence, listen to this, he'll tell you, I did not ask him one time what he's going to do, because I've covered Eric Gilbert since the eighth grade. I know his mother really well, and just really trying to hope that he gets to the level of playing. Now, on the other side of that, I did talk to some people, and there's still people that think he's going to end up back at LSU, which is going to be the best opportunity for him to play immediately, because it's school to school, and he can, you know, take some classes in their system. But I don't know. I don't know. But I know I can't answer that he's in a much better place than he was, you know, say December and January, where there was some very concerning stuff, you know, being told to me about him. And this is a first-round talent. Make no mistake about it. This is a first-round NFL life-changing money talent kid I've covered from, again, from the eighth grade. So I, no matter where he goes, I hope he gets to his potential. So that's where I'm at. I don't know, you know, anybody that can tell me where he's going to go. And, you know, like I said, the two or three people that I did ask outside of Terrence, and people think he's going to end up back at LSU probably, but nobody would tell me it's a done deal. So that's kind of where we're at with him. I certainly think Georgia would take him in a heartbeat if that were the opportunity. And I don't know if that's the opportunity right now. So there's still a lot of ifs and buts. I'm going to be real careful with Eric Gilbert, because this guy on the board drives many, many threads. And I want to be real upfront with the information that I give on him. And that's the, I don't know right now, but I can answer that he's in a much better place. And you as a college football fan should cheer on this kid and hope that he would get to see him back on Saturdays playing for someone, because he is a rare, rare talent.
Kip, piggybacking off those comments before we go to a break here, one spot left, hypothetical, one spot left. What are you going with, cornerback, defensive back, or wide receiver?
I'm real tempted to say wide receiver, because it's obvious that, you know, there's a big hole as far as production's concerned with Pickens being down and not knowing if, you know, if he's going to be able to play this season, or if he will play the season again for Georgia. But if there's a cover corner out there, yeah, I mean, I use that spot on that, no questions asked, just because Georgia's got some young guys at wide receiver, I think, that can step up. And we obviously saw during the G-Day scrimmage that, you know, A.D. Mitchell potentially could be a guy that really helps them this year. At cornerback, I just, if there's a guy that you already know is going to come in and bring high level play, be a cover corner for you, you bring him in without hesitation. So that's just such a tough spot to really, you know, put a high caliber level of play out there. It's just, that's the cornerback position. It's just really tough to evaluate, and, you know, even tougher to get, you know, elite play at. I think that Georgia's secondary last year, we talked about how talented they were. This secondary right now, very talented, but also just very inexperienced. And I think if you're able to add a guy that can step right in, you do that, no questions asked.
Yeah, I think I'd agree with that too. Let's jump into a break here real quick, and Rusty and Kip are going to go stretch and warm up here a little bit so they can flex their recruiting muscle on the other side of the break.
Streaming on Paramount Plus.
You ready, Bob?
Well, all right.
Audiences are raving. Bob Marley is electrifying. It's the feel-good movie of the year.
You dig?
Bob Marley, One Love. Rated PG-13. Now streaming on Paramount Plus.
Greetings, Fantasy Warriors. I'm Heath Cummings, your guide to fantasy dominance on FFT Dynasty. Join me this offseason where mock drafts become epic showdowns and every pick shapes your legacy.
If I was Adam, with the team that he's built, Will Levis makes so much more sense.
And that's not all. We're peeling back the curtain on the future with our exclusive 2024 NFL Draft Prospect Profiles. Uncover hidden gems that'll elevate your roster to legendary status.
Puka Nacua. After Cooper Kupp, we really have no idea who's going to get the targets.
Keaton Mitchell of East Carolina. Explosive speed is ridiculous.
This isn't just a podcast. It's a playbook for champions. Subscribe to FFT Dynasty now, and together we'll conquer the fantasy football frontier. Your dynasty journey starts here.
All right, guys. Georgia gets a commitment, a 2023 kid, a legacy, Marcus Washington Jr. Rusty, tell me what you know about him. I know you had him in camp. Is that right?
Yeah, Dad. I mean, our good friend Chad Simmons, we both know. We all know well. Come up to me that morning. We had a camp down at McEachern, I think about 3 weeks ago. And we were talking about certain kids, and he goes, hey, they're this kid right here, not many people know about him. He's got some offers. And just kind of pointed him out to me in the middle of the day, middle of the morning. Craziness, you know, it takes a lot to run a camp like that. So I remember getting back down to the field as I did the one-on-ones with the DBs, and everybody was telling me, hey, this kid right here is really good, this 6'1 corner. So I go over there and look, and then I find out it's Marcus Washington Jr., and he had a really good day. And I'm thinking, man, this kid's long. I wonder if he tested well. So I don't get the results until about a day and a half later, like everyone else, all the kids. And I was floored, to be honest with you, because we had 1,215 kids, I believe, where we are, 1,215 kids. And he was the only kid in the state of Georgia that has ran sub 4.5 on the laser, ran 4.46. Well, I thought, man, that's freaky. And so I saw him last week, not this past weekend, the weekend before last, at the state 6A sectionals in Rome. And I watched him run against Isaiah Bond and KJ Bolden, the 2024 out of Buford, in the 100. And I believe he ran 10.76. So he backed up that 4.4 with a 10.7 as a sophomore. And, you know, what I saw on the field that day, this is a football player that can run track. It was a no-brainer for Georgia. And I just think getting a legacy, you saw the tweet he put out, hey, I'm recruiting for Georgia, I'm not messing around. But there's not many 6'1 guys that are legit 4'4. So he will be a guy that will skyrocket in the rankings as everybody gets to meet him this time next year. He'll be, in my opinion, he'll be a very, very highly ranked, defensive back, University of Georgia commit, because this kid was impressive. And both times I've seen him, very good kid. Very, very humble seems, and just really, you know, he talked to me about Alabama and Florida State and all those schools were really starting trying to get him on campus. And I think when he thought about it more and looked at his schedule, he's like, you know what? I know where I want to go. My dad played at Georgia. He said he's been going to Georgia games for as long as he could remember. It was just time to commit, and it was a big, big get for Georgia.
I always think it's cool when you see a legacy. Obviously, his father was Marcus Washington and is Marcus Washington. And, played at Georgia, was a high, profile recruit. If I remember correctly, it was a little bit before my time. But a really, high profile recruit, a 4-star guy, good football player. Things didn't really pan out the way, people, I think, expected him to at Georgia. But I'm always intrigued when a guy plays a different position than, when you get a quarterback, and then like Mike Bobo and Drew Bobo, Mike was a quarterback, and then Drew's an offensive lineman. I like it when they play different positions. And, this is a really cool one, because I think it makes us all feel a little bit old, because Marcus Washington, it wasn't that long ago. But then, here he comes. And Kip, I'm pretty sure you probably remember covering Marcus Washington, or was that before your time?
It was right before I started doing this, but I still remember him being interviewed at Georgia. I think that's way back in the day. I think he got hurt right after he got to Georgia, early on in camp when he was there, had a knee injury. But I remember Chad talking to me about Marcus Washington right when I first started, and he was like, he's a great athlete, we'll see how it goes, hey, can you go interview this guy over at Brookwood? And it was Rennie Curran, and that was my first interview in this industry. And that's the crazy part. I remember when Marcus Washington announced his commitment. I remember whenever he signed and he had Marcus Jr. right there with him when he signed with Georgia. Like I said, that was right before I started doing this, but I still remember seeing it and talking to Chad about him. So it is very surreal just to kind of see this come full circle and know that this definitely ages all of us and allows me to know that I've been doing this long enough to where I could see someone's kid grow up and become a recruit. So it is very neat in that sense. And I'm sure that for that family, it's got to be just, you know, cloud nine for them over this past, you know, past week, past couple of days, just to kind of, you know, continue that legacy, you know, proud dad and obviously a son that's trying to continue that, you know, that name and make a legacy for himself at the same time. So, and I mean, just watching the film, I think he's got a chance to make a name for himself. I think he plays a lot of positions for Grovetown. I think not just cornerback, safety, but also, you know, in the return game. I was real impressed by what I saw from him on film in the return game. And obviously with Rusty talking about the speed that he brings to the table, I think it's a good pickup. We're talking about the cornerback position a lot in this pod, and you know, you could always use guys to help out there. I think he's a guy that can stay outside and play out there and give Georgia help at multiple levels, special teams and in the secondary. So as Jake and I both kind of pointed out in the site, you know, Georgia having the number one class in 2022 and 2023 right now is just kind of, I guess, neat and positive for the future of Georgia football. And I think that Marcus Washington Jr. is a big pickup and a guy that we're going to see when he gets his initial rankings on 24/7 Sports, you know, is considered one of the better players in the country right now.
Man, I'm sitting here and I just looked up the recruiting class. You know, Marcus Washington committed to Georgia in May the 7th of 2004. And I'm looking at this class, man, and Trey Blackmon, Kyle Moore, James Davis, Darius Dewberry was in that class. Brandon, this was all the way back in the countdown to signing day days, and I remember that because, you know, Brandon Cisse and Roderick Battle committed to Georgia on countdown to signing day with Jamie Newberg. It's amazing what a different recruiting world we're in, like what's the same and what's different. You know, just going through this list of guys in the state of Georgia, Jared Cook was in that same class. It's pretty amazing. And, you know, Jerry Cook still going strong in the NFL as far as I know. But, yeah, it's really cool to kind of see.
Was that the Thomas Brown class?
I don't think so. No, maybe. No, he signed in the 2005 class, right?
For some reason, I thought he and Charles Johnson and Brandon Sutherland were 2004, but you might be right.
Well, I don't think they can be 2004. The reason I say that is because I know both of those guys were studs, and I'm looking through the list of, you know, top 40 in-state prospects for that year, and I don't see them on there. So I don't know, man. It just – that doesn't seem like it was 16, 17 years ago. But I guess it is. And, it's really cool that Kip, that you remember when he signed with Georgia, having Georgia's newest commitment for the 2023 class right by his side. And to know that now he's, you know, he's 16, 17 years old and getting ready to, you know, take his football career to the next level, I guess, getting ready to enter his junior season of high school ball. Let's jump into June, guys. And we're a couple weeks away here, I guess, about, yeah, you know, 2 weeks away to the end of the month. And Rusty, it certainly seems like the month of June is going to be on fire, and it's going to be on fire everywhere. Is there any way to do it justice? Is there any way to truly understand how crazy things are about to get? And because, you know, these coaches and these players in their own way are just kind of stir crazy right now.
They're ready to go. Unfortunately for me and Kip, we're going to be trying to get kids on the phone that aren't ready to do interviews on Sunday afternoons. We'll probably get a few of that first week, but I can't even imagine by week three trying to call these kids, because I don't know that it's ever been, you know, like – you know, you go back to December and January, you know, we'll have to go back many, many years where you used to do those Januaries that have about 7 or 8 or 9 official visits every weekend. Well, Georgia looks like they're going to do three of the four weekends with large groups. I think they got one or two, maybe that last weekend. So it's going to be, we're going to do everything we can. I think June's going to be a crazy, crazy month with information everywhere. So we're going to do everything we can. One thing, I'll go ahead and give you an answer for one thing. One thing I'm, very interested in is this official visit of Evan Stewart. This is one of the fastest players in the country out of Frisco, Texas. This is a young man that's a top 40 player in the country. Georgia's been on for a while. Got some connections to the state of Georgia. Got some relatives that live here. So he'll be here on June the 18th. So Georgia get him then. And this is a guy that I think that Georgia – This is a difference maker. You want somebody, they got some really good players. I saw Denylon Morissette practice last week, and I'll be honest with you, I was very impressed. He is a very polished route runner. The best thing I liked about him is the defensive groups went, they did offensive team period, go through everything, then they do defense for a while. So kind of the offensive guys just kind of stood on the side. Well, Denylon Morissette went over, and he ran some of the DBs. And when he wasn't running with the DBs, he was with the young wide receivers on the sidelines, teaching them footwork, teaching them how to get off coverage, not just for 5 minutes, for 40 minutes. So that tells you a lot about that young man and where he's going and his work ethic as well. But Evan Stewart is a guy that I think Georgia fans have circled for a while. They know after facing Alabama the last couple of years, you better have some guys that can roll. And Evan Stewart is one of the top targets remaining in the country with verified track times and football. So a lot of stuff to watch. Going to be a wild June. I know Kip is so looking forward to it. Palmer, my man, we're going to break Palmer in a little bit in June. So I hope he's enjoying a few more days off. So we're going to blow out the coverage. Information is going to be everywhere. It's going to be a wild, wild June, unlike anything we've ever covered.
Yeah, I know it is because – like, I it's not even my thing anymore. I don't cover recruiting anymore. I mean, I'll call guys. I'll do whatever you guys ask me to as far as that regards, but it's not something I do normally. But just looking at Twitter every day and seeing this guy confirmed to this place, this guy confirmed to this place. Here's who, this guy lays out who he's visiting in the month. It's going to be wild. And it's almost like – it's almost one of these things where – some things are going to get mixed up. Some name tags are going to, get lost. I mean, it's going to be wild. And I think everybody kind of has to know it. And you just hope if you're a staff that you don't end up making that big mistake and forgetting who's coming and who's going. And all of these big recruiting staffs are going to earn, are going to prove their worth now, because I mean, we've well over a year since the guy's been able to visit campus and be hosted by the actual school and, the camps and everything like that. It's cool to see it kind of coming back to normal. I mean, we get to take our masks off now per the CDC, and that was kind of a good little line in the sand for us. And now we're going to get recruiting back, which is an even more pronounced line in the sand, I think, for normalcy for all of us. And that's going to be really cool. Kip, is there one thing that you're watching to keep an eye on? I'm going to ask Rusty this too, but one guy that Georgia really needs to get on campus, in your opinion?
I think it is kind of crazy that we're talking about this. This feels like December. We're preparing for – this is the calm before the storm, the chaos, and all these official visits. I mean, we're going to have double-digit – I mean, we'll probably have 20 official visitors for Georgia next month, if not more. And to have that happen in June in itself is just, I mean, I know it's exciting for recruiting fans and it's just exciting for everyone just to kind of get back into things and cover visits. But I think it's going to be chaos. So as far as a general thing I'm looking for, I want to see schools, reacting and finding out that one of their commitments is visiting another program, because that Georgia included, they're working behind the scenes to get guys on campus that are committed to other programs. When you haven't had any visitors on campus in well over a year, you're trying to sell your program to guys who are committed to other places. And you're telling them you made that early decision, that verbal commitment, but you haven't even seen our campus yet. You haven't met with us. Just come here and give us a chance. And there are guys who are going to do that. High profile guys committed to other places. And so that's something I'm looking for, just the watch and see how that unfolds overall. And just with Georgia's commitment group too, like I said, it's the number one class in the country. So you think maybe some other programs are trying to get Georgia commitments on campus? I'm pretty sure. So if there's a guy I'm watching for Georgia's class, I'm going to see what happens with Bear Alexander. That's a guy they need to get on campus again as many times as they can, an out-of-state guy, a five-star guy, you know, in the state of Texas. You have, you know, obviously in-state programs there like Texas A&M. They're trying to get Bear Alexander on campus and try to get him to stay home. Well, Georgia probably could get, you know, they could do well to get him back on campus just to, you know, reaffirm what he liked about Athens, what he liked overall about the Georgia program. So, you know, that's kind of a guy I'm watching. But for Georgia, I don't want to see what they do with the wide receiver position. They got a guy committed already, as Rusty mentioned, in Denial and Morissette. But, you know, getting Kojo on campus, getting a guy like Evan Stewart on campus June 18th, I think that's a big official visit, a guy with speed that you know, obviously everyone in the country is trying to get since he decommitted from Texas. Out of Liberty High School out there. That's a recruit that Georgia could really, really do well to impress and make a move in his recruitment.
Rusty, who do you think Georgia needs to get on campus? What's one guy?
Probably shouldn't say the one I'm thinking of right now. I've kind of hinted at the board that there's at least one high-profile kid that Georgia – let me just say, is recruiting really, really hard. There's a lot of communication between this young man and the University of Georgia. Right now, he is scheduled to take a visit to Georgia. It will not be the first weekend, so nobody asked. So if and when he comes to campus, I'm certain someone will see him, and that will be a different story. So I'm going to go the secret route this time. And again, if he doesn't, and if he winds up sticking with school, I'll, you know, as we go back to National Signing Day, I do behind the scenes, I'll definitely let you know who it was. I don't want to call the young man out. It's not his business right now until he signs, but there is some strong stuff that I'm hearing. He may have already have been to campus and checked it out himself. So we'll see how things go. I think Georgia fans will be excited about this one, specifically at the position. So it's going to be a wild June, Jake. I'll leave it at that.
And I feel confident in saying this. Dogs 24/7 is where you're going to want to be for your recruiting news when it all goes down, because these two guys are the best in the business. I'll say it today and tomorrow and for a long time, because they do a better job than anybody else of you know, getting the behind-the-scenes stuff and getting in touch with the guys and getting information on the guys. If they can't get in touch with the guys, It's going to be wild. It's going to be fun. And Dogs 24/7 is where you're going to want to be. So if you want to keep up recruiting, come over and check us out. I think you can get a year long membership right now for 30% off. Great time to do that. But that's all we've got for this show. We'll be back with you later on and hopefully have a little bit more of a June preview. God knows what can happen in a week as far as what guys are going to visit. And hopefully we'll be able to bring more to you then. But for now, that's all we have. I'm Jake Rowe with Dogs 24/7. They're Kip Adams and Rusty Mansell from the same place. You guys take it easy.
It's the NFL offseason, but on Pick 6, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, the football season never stops. Hosts Will Brinson, John Breach, and Tyler Sullivan are joined by analysts like Brady Quinn, Leslie Deuceable, Katie Mox, and RJ White to keep you in the loop on everything happening around the league. Whether it's free agents signing with new teams, the all-important NFL draft, or schedule release day, Pick 6 has you covered. As the face of the league changes with every team move and player pickup this spring, Pick 6 is a must listen. Download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, the Odyssey app, and anywhere podcasts are found.